On November 13th, Ethan Chapman, Zan Kernoodle, Kaylee Gonkolovs, and Maddie Morgan had been stabbed to death in their girls' off-campus house in Moscow, Idaho. But before we get any further, hello and welcome to the Murder House Radio Show. I am your host, X. On this show, we will be covering serial killers, killers, mass shooters, disappearances, true crime, and the most deplorable things and people in history. All that good dark stuff. The Murder House Radio Show will be a radio show slash podcast. I'll be uploading videos every Friday at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Once you hit the subscribe button, hit the bell and select all to get all notifications if you are viewing on YouTube. And hit follow if you are listening on a podcasting platform. So sit down, get comfortable, grab some coffee or whatever your preferred beverage is, turn off the lights, and enjoy the show. This case is called the Idaho Student Murders. The victims of this case are Ethan Chapman, 20 years old, of Conway, Washington. Kaylee Gonkolovs, 21, of Rathdrum, Idaho. Zan Kernoodle, 20 years old, of Avondale, Arizona. She later lived in Post Falls, Idaho. And Madison Morgan, 21, of Cordonnell, Idaho. There was no immediate suspect to the murders, which raised the question, could it be a serial killer? A random act of violence? Maybe the most possible suspect. Somebody that one of the victims known, and the rest were all just loose ends. Or maybe they had a grudge against all of them. But this attack definitely seemed targeted, in my opinion. There was also no murder weapon found at the scene, but the detectives believed it was a large fixed-blade hunting knife that was later found. The knife make was possibly a K-bar knife. A K-bar knife is a United States military combat knife developed in World War II. 7 weeks after the killings, the police announced an arrest in Pennsylvania on Friday of a doctoral student in criminal justice. Now that we have a brief summary of the case, the timeline is: on November 12th, 2022, at around 9 p.m., Kernoodle and Chapman are seen at a party at Chapman's fraternity, Sigma Chi, a short walk from the King Road apartment house where the roommates lived, according to the detectives. On that night, Gonkolovs uploaded pictures to her Instagram featuring photos of the friends with the caption, "One lucky girl to be surrounded by these people every day." Around 10 p.m., Gonkolovs and Morgan go to a sports bar in Moscow, the Corner Club. On the 13th of November, at around 1:30 a.m., Gonkolovs and Morgan were seen ordering from a nearby food truck, according to the truck's live stream. Detectives say that Kernoodle and Chapman returned to their three-level house on King Road at around 1:45 a.m., while Gonkolovs and Morgan take a car ride home, arriving at about 1:56 a.m. Meanwhile, the two other housemates who had gone out that night had arrived home before the others at around 1 a.m. At 11:58, the 911 call was placed by two of the housemates requesting assistance for an unconscious person. The police alerted the public about the deaths in a news release, and they said, while no one is in custody, they don't believe there is an ongoing community risk based on the information gathered during the primary investigation. Yeah, you don't really want to stir up any suspicion. Well, not suspicion, any public panic. On November 16th, 2022, there was no suspects apprehended. The police did withdraw the comments that there is no threat to the community of the large rural city of almost 26,000 people. They released a statement that says, "We do not have a suspect at this time, and that individual is still out there," stated Moscow Police Chief James Fry. On the 17th of November, the preliminary autopsy results were released, and they showed that the four victims were likely attacked with a large knife and died sometime after 2 a.m. from stab wounds. The Leith County coroner, Kathy Mabut, said. She describes their wounds as pretty extensive. On the 18th of November, the police say the victims were most likely asleep when they were killed, and some of them had defensive wounds. There was also no sign of SA. If there's defensive wounds, there's probably screaming and banging and whatnot. You'd have to agree. So it's either the ones with the defensive wounds were done last, or they were drugged or something. But the autopsy said nothing about drugs, so I would assume they were done last or whatnot. I could also understand maybe heavy sleep, because I am a heavy sleeper, but if people were getting murdered and fighting in my house or whatnot, I think I would wake up, but that's just me. Well, what do you guys think? The police did seize the contents of three dumpsters near the scene, and they did contact local businesses to see if the knife had been purchased recently. On the 30th of November, a vigil was held at the University of Idaho in the honor of the victims, with some members of their families attending. Kaylee's father stated that his daughter and Morgan had been best friends since the sixth grade, and he had later learned that they were in the same bed when they were killed. He also said they went to high school together, then they started looking at colleges. They came here together. They eventually get into the same apartment together, and in the end, they died together. On the 1st of December 2022, the Moscow police reaffirmed the quadruple homicide was part of a targeted attack after the authorities appeared to suggest the opposite. They stated, "We remain consistent in our belief that this was an intended targeted attack, but have not concluded if the target was the residence or its occupants." On December 2nd, 2022, the two housemates, Bethany Funke and Dylan Mortensons, released letters saying they are struggling to accept why the lives of four beautiful people were taken so brutally. Could be mourning friends. But, yeah. On the 5th of December, detectives focused on Chapman's and Carnoodle's activities on the evening they were killed, and asked the public for information about the nearly 5 hours from when the couple arrived at the Sigma Chi party to the apartment house on King Road. On the 7th of December, the police began removing personal items of the victims from the apartment house and returning them to the families. They also announced an integral part of the investigation. They say they are looking to speak with any occupants of a white Hyundai Elantra from 2011 to 2013 with an unknown license plate. They do not say whether they believe the driver is linked to the killer, but say the person may have critical information to the case. The police were keeping information from the families. For example, on the 15th of December, Christy Goncav, Kylie's mother, expressed her frustrations during an interview with the NBC's Today Show that she only learned about the police's interests in the Hyundai Elantra when the rest of the public did. Yeah, I'd be pretty upset too, because she was left in the dark and whatnot. Like, the families should be the first ones to know about these new leads. On the 30th of December 2022, the police announce the arrest of a suspect, Brian Christopher Kohenberger, 28, a resident of Pullman, Washington. Then a doctoral student at Washington State University. He is apprehended in northeastern Pennsylvania, approximately 2,500 miles from the Idaho campus, and he was charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder and burglary. According to 2 law enforcement sources, DNA evidence played a key role in linking the killings to Kohenberger. In a news conference, the detective, Fry, says he believes Kohenberger is the only suspect. He said, "What I can tell you is that we have an individual in custody who committed these horrible crimes. And I do believe our community is safe." On December 31st, the public defender of Mourne County, Pennsylvania, where Kohenberger is being held, said the suspect intends to waive his extradition hearing to face charges in Idaho. He said he should be presumed innocent until proven otherwise, not tried in the court of public opinion. Which is true. Oftentimes, suspects are considered guilty until proven innocent, which is sad but true. On the 3rd of January 2023, Kohenberger appears in court and agrees to return to Idaho. On the 4th, Kohenberger is flown across country in a Pennsylvania State Police plane and booked into Lathe County, Idaho, in jail. On the 5th, Kohenberger makes his first appearance in Idaho court and is ordered to be held without bail. Another hearing was set for January 12th. An investigator says male DNA discovered on a knife sheath left behind at the crime was used to link Kohenberger to the crime scene, and that they had been tracking his car, a white Hyundai Elantra, and a cell phone used in the area, according to a newly released document. That is a lot of evidence right there. I want to say circumstantial, but the DNA on the sheath at the place, I'm not too sure about that. But yeah. On the 18th of January, a list of items seized from a search warrant from Kohenberger's Pullman, Washington apartment was made public. The belongings included a pillow with a reddish-brown stain, a disposable glove, and at least a dozen strands of hair. Interesting. On February 28th, a search warrant for the home of Kohenberger's parents in Elberitesville, Pennsylvania, reveals more items seized, including 4 medical-style gloves, a silver flashlight, and a buccal swab DNA test. I probably mispronounced that, but it's just a DNA test. On the 13th of March, prosecutors seek data from major tech firms such as Apple and Amazon, as well as social media platforms and retailers as part of their investigation, according to the court documents made public. They are also requesting bank and social media information tied to the 4 victims in order to build a digital picture of the crime and the suspect. So that is all the information we have on this case so far, from November 12th to March 13th. When there are updates on the case, and a conviction, and a sentence, and what have you, I'll make an update video. But yeah, it's a pretty recent update, 13th. It is currently the 22nd, so 11 days, roughly about 11 days. So yeah, this case is very fresh. I remember hearing about this one on the news there. It's definitely a tragedy. Definitely a tragedy. It's the first case I can remember that is something of this caliber or whatnot. But yeah. Let me know what you guys think of this case. It is definitely interesting. What do you remember about this case? Because from what I just read off here, this is just the timeline and whatnot of the case. But here's some info on the suspected killer himself. Brian Kohenberger, 28 years old. One individual who knew Kohenberger when they were younger recalled Kohenberger was quiet but friendly, in that he was bullied by his peers over his weight. The individual said he was bullied a lot. It started because of his weight, and it was mainly by females. He was pretty big. Sarah Healy, who attended elementary, middle school, and high school with Kohenberger in Pleasant Valley, PA, told People, like People's Magazine, I'm guessing. Others said they do not recall him being bullied. One person said, "I know that he had anger issues and he would have outbursts and stuff. I never saw them face to face. My brother said that Brian would get angry with him and he would kind of gaslight him and get physically aggressive," Casey, 28, told People. "Brian never got physically aggressive with my brother, but he was the kind of person who would smash things or punch a wall or something like that." Quite a few classmates recall him using heroin. He even offered heroin to classmates before going to rehab in 2013. Kohenberger also earned a bachelor's degree in psychology at the local community college near his eastern Pennsylvania hometown. Jack Baisley, a longtime friend of the suspect, said he was always a very curious person and always had a deep interest in psychology. In June 2022, he completed a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. He was also a teacher's assistant in Washington State University. He even tried to get into the police academy with the Pullman, Washington Police Department. He was pulled over a few times, twice in one day, months before the murders, with his father on a cross-country road trip. Also, months before the murders, bars issued warnings to Kohenberger. He was warned about his interactions with women working in that frequented bars in Bethlehem, PA. Jordan Cirkelnick, the owner of Seven Sirens Brewing Company, told the NBC News. Cirkelnick explained that the bar staff scanned IDs of all patrons that went into the bar and added notes that would pop up in the system. Staff put in there, "Hey, this guy makes creepy comments. Keep an eye on him. He'll have two or three beers and then just get a little too comfortable," he said. The brewery owner also added that Cohenberger would also sit alone at the bar, observing and watching other patrons, and that he asked female staff and customers questions about where they lived and who they were at the bar with. He also said that if women weren't interested in conversation, that he would get upset with them a little bit, and that Cohenberger called female staffer a bitch when she would not answer his questions. He followed three of his victims and even messaged one on Instagram. None of them followed him back. 2 weeks before the students were killed, Cohenberger sent a series of messages to one of the victims on Instagram. In February, three different University of Idaho students told People they believe they saw Cohenberger at the Students' Union building on campus in the weeks leading up to the murders. A source familiar with the investigation told People that Cohenberger had photos of one of the female victims in his phone. They did not specify whether the images were taken by Cohenberger or pulled from social media. And that's all I could really dig up. But yeah, there's some information on the suspect himself. What do you guys think? He's definitely a troubled individual, I'd say that, but he's also smart. I don't know, he kind of reminds me of Ted Bundy for some reason. And if he didn't get caught, I have a feeling he would have kept going. But yeah, what do you guys think? Let me know down in the comments below. So, that is the case of the Idaho student murders. Thank you for listening to this episode on the Murder House Radio Show. I hope you have a good rest of your Friday or whenever you are listening to this. Check out the social medias and the sources in the description below. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Once you hit the subscribe button, hit the bell notification and select all if you are listening on YouTube. If you are listening on a podcasting platform, hit follow. Leave your suggestions for future episodes in the comments. See you next episode. This is your host X, signing off.